12. For this week's feature item, we turn once again to the indefatigable soundings contributor Liz from East Kilbride. Every few weeks, she brings us the results of her researches into the life of an interesting, often forgotten figure. This week, she shares the story with us, the story of an unusually named Wally Funk, a pioneering female aviator. Born in 1939, Wally's long list of female firsts is, as you will hear, quite amazing. But she had to wait until 2021 to finally make it into space at the unlikely age of 82. Here is her story, which runs for about 12 minutes.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Well, hello again. It's Liz from East Kilbride here. You know, there's been a lot in the news about so-called space tourists, multi-millionaires and their celebrity pals who venture up for about 10 minutes or so into suborbital flight, and then they claim they're astronauts. But you know, I'm incredibly sceptical about that. But there is one among these recent flyers who truly deserves a flight towards the heavens, and that person is my choice today. One, believe it or not, called Wally Funk, who did fly in 2021 with the millionaire Jeff Bezos in his Blue Origin spaceship at the grand old age of 82. And I want to share her unique story with you today. Well, first of all, of course, I should explain the name. Funk has origins in the myriad of folk who ended up in the Americas in the 19th century. The Wally is actually Wallace. She was christened Mary Wallace Funk. From a very young age, the family did not use Mary. They just called her Wally. What a wee gal she was. She was born in 1939, way out in New Mexico, actually Las Vegas, before it became the gambling super city. Her family ran what they called a variety store. Really, we would call it maybe a 24-hour convenience store. And many of the local folk were artists. They didn't have much money, so they paid the Funk family in artworks. Peculiar sculptures, abstract paintings were an early influence on Wally. And growing up, she was a wee girl who had adventures, climbed things, tumbled over things, fell off things. She writes, "I got my first try at flying, really pure flying, by wearing my Superman cape and jumping off the top of my dad's barn when I was about 5 years old." A gal for adventures. Now, interestingly, her mum supported this adventurous spirit. She herself had never been allowed to go beyond the traditional confines of a young girl's upbringing. So she supported Wally as Wally went to school, because at home, Wally was already into mechanics, building model aeroplanes and ships, and she was making planes from balsa wood by the age of 7. Age 9, her first flying lesson. Where was the outlet for this girl at that time and at that age? Well, it was in being a very adventurous outdoors woman. She rode horses. She rode her bike. She was a keen skier and, in fact, represented the southwest of America as a top female skier. In terms of her education, the high school did not allow her to do the subjects that she wanted. Subjects like mechanical drawing, auto mechanics. She was told, "You're a girl, you're doing home economics." She was so outraged by this, she left school early to attend a college in Missouri, which did allow her to do more technical subjects. And at the age of 19, she graduated with her pilot's license. That was only stage one. The next place she went on to was Oklahoma State University. Wally was not of a wealthy family. She did odd jobs to earn extra money because she wanted to have more aviation qualifications. Again, in hard words, I could trade off mowing the grass between the runways, and that way I could have more glider flying time. She became qualified in a myriad of different flying machines, commercial machines, single-engine seaplanes, then moving in further to qualifications like a flight instructor, a ground instructor. And that then leads to, from around the age of 22, for really the rest of her official working life, Wally Funk was the first in, well, actually, I lost track of how many areas she was the first in. She was the first female flight instructor at a US military base. And then she was a chief pilot with an aviation company. All this was part of a zeal to show she could be as good. And in fact, more than that, she must have had the people skills to explain what she did. Because she's teaching eventually in her career as an aviator. She's actually the chief pilot for 5 aviation schools across the United States. Had taught over 3,000 private pilots, as well as a long and successful career in her spare time, doing air races crisscrossing the United States and over into the Pacific Ocean. And it's not just the practical work that she's doing. She was the first woman to qualify as a flight inspector. And in that career, she investigated over 400 accidents, ranging from a probable hit by a mafia crowd on somebody they just didn't like anymore, to a fatal, tragic crash of a small plane into a mortuary building. Wally Funk was respected as a professional. She was loved for her skill in explaining the technicalities of flying, and everyone across that aviation sector of America said, Wally, she's the best. While she's gaining all these firsts in the 1950s and then into the early 60s, of course, America has decided to put people into space. Well, more exactly, they decided to put men into space. Some of the younger aviation women pilots said, wait a minute here. We are skillful pilots. We are commercial pilots. We're even stunt pilots. We should be given the chance to join the astronaut selection program. The view of NASA, backed up by then President Eisenhower, said no women should be considered for the official astronaut program. The government wouldn't give money to put women into space. Let's not even interview and assess these women contenders. One man thought women should at least be tested. And this man was a Dr. Lovelace, associated with the NASA program. So almost as a secret shadow program, he selected 13 women in his Women in Space program. They would assess them. They would do the same physical and psychometric tests as the men. But in fact, there was never a reality of having them put up in the Apollo program. But he did decide to give them an official name. And that became the Mercury 13 programme, where Wally Funk was one of the 13 and did incredibly well in many of the tests, including a sensory deprivation tank, where the bold Wally was there for around 10 hours and thoroughly enjoyed the experience. Mercury 13 gave them their data, and then the women were told, just go home, do your best, continue your careers, but you're not part of NASA. It was decades later, to 1995, when Eileen Collins became the first woman to pilot a space shuttle into space. Our Wally Funk was too old to become a space shuttle pilot, but Collins acknowledged their pioneer work, and she invited the surviving members of the Mercury 13 to see her launch from the Kennedy Space Center. Wally had not given up. In 2012, she put her own money down because she had heard there was a possibility of a private flight into space. And 9 years later, when our Wally was 82, she was one of the members with Jeff Bezos in that first flight on his Blue Origin spacecraft. So she was there as the space tourism thing developed, but my, isn't she far more than a space tourist? And actually, when I look at the career and the determination and the joy in being in space that Wally Funk showed age 82, her life and all these firsts that she achieved is so much more than just attempting to be an astronaut. Decades as an instructor, a flight inspector, training over 3,000 pilots, the chief pilot at aviation schools, teaching the pilots of the US Army, she, I believe, is a true inheritor of the dreams, the aspiration, and the legacy of the early aviators, Amy Johnson and Amelia Earhart. I hope you've enjoyed her story. A truly wonderful woman of aerospace.
TNF Soundings.